thankful that Jesus will make a way. Desire and interest in your prayers this morning. My voice won't give out on me and I won't have to do much coughing. So I'd like to talk to us this morning about alarms. I don't know if any of you use an alarm or not, but I wonder this morning if we respect an alarm. Do they help us? And do they give us purpose? And do you allow an alarm to do its job, or do you just look at it as something that interferes with the things that you want to do at that time? I have an observation that our physical bodies and our sense of consciousness of alarms will dictate how we perform in life and our success. I know that there are those that feel like that they have to have a big crashing noise to wake them up. I remember hearing someone of my age bracket when we were younger that they would take their alarm clock and set it in a metal wash pan or something, so that it sounded like a big bell, and put it over across the room so that it would actually wake them up. And I'm not here to criticize or anything like that. I think all of us here that have depended on an alarm clock have different levels or different ways or methods that we respond to them. And just so that we're all on the same page, I'm old enough to remember the alarm clocks that we had to wind, and we had to turn the little lever on the side to make it come on. I remember one, the first alarm clock I had, you had to make sure it was wound and the time was set, because if you let it run out, you know, the little spring get weak, then it would lose time. So you have to double check the setting and make sure you set the alarm by some little tiny lever that moved around, and it was just a mechanical thing that when it got around to that alarm point, the little bell started to ring, and the only way to turn it off, you had to reach and move the little lever on it. So as time went on, I went from that to, before I left my parents' house, I had a digital wristwatch. That was really high tech. And I don't remember being able to choose different sounds for the alarm, but I know that it started out with one beep, and then it was a double beep, and it'd pause and double beep again. Does anybody else ever remember those? Brother Rob, you're probably old enough to. So I had one of those, and this is what I found with my own self. I found that if I really respect my alarm and I really let them do what it's supposed to do, and I'm being responsible, I don't have to have one sitting in a wash tub out in the hall to wake me up. I condition myself to know, you know, I've been getting up out of bed for over 50 years, and I know that when the sun comes up, whether I'm getting up before the sun gets up or after the sun is up, there's a specific time, and it's really hard for me to, alarm or not, at this age in my life, to just sleep beyond my normal getting up time. I do occasionally, But I promised that at the time I normally would get up, my body wakes up, and I have to go back to sleep if I'm going to sleep later than that. It's not that I just am oblivious, and if my alarm doesn't go off, I don't get up. That's my experience. I know that when I had my little digital wristwatch that had the beep and then beep beep, I know that when it would beep the first time, I could reach and get it and turn it off before it done the beep beep. So I know that we can condition ourselves to respond. I'm not trying to set that as a benchmark and tell you that you're all failures if you don't do that. Okay? I want to make sure that I'm clear on that. I'd like to turn to Numbers, the 10th chapter, and notice something here that this may be the only verse that uses the word alarm that we're going to use today. Numbers chapter 10, maybe beginning verse 8, and it says, "And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, It's Numbers chapter 10, not Leviticus. Numbers chapter 10, and he says in the verse 8, "And the sons of Aaron the priest shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies." So, the original design of the trumpet that God intended for a trumpet to be used for was to be like an alarm clock. Now, I didn't have a trumpet in my house as growing up, so we depended on the little alarms that sound like a little hammer beating on a bell until we got the digital electronic things. But my boys actually had horns when they were in school that they would practice with at home. And I can remember going down and blowing their horn. And I had no idea, it was a very uncertain sound when I blew their horn. But I could make a noise. And I done my best to use that horn to be their alarm. To wake them up on the weekends when we needed to do something around the house. So, something that portrays a sound that interrupts our routine, interrupts our what we're doing. It's something that alerts us. It interrupts the things that we were engaged in, and it's a signal that we need to change courses. If you remember, when the Israelites crossed Jordan, they met the first city they came to was Jericho. And they marched around that city, and when time came for them to come in to the city, it said that the priest, I believe, that walked in the front they blew their trumpets, and the people shouted. And it was a very powerful thing. There was a change of course at that time. And the walls came down, and the Israelites were able to infiltrate that city. So I'd like to go now to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, and start looking at some things that can really arrest us in our life. And go to Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll notice here that it's a passage that my children probably are familiar with. chapter 3 and verse 11, he says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." So we find here that he says, don't feel that it's such a bad thing when your father corrects you, or that God corrects you or chastens you. And we all know that this happens usually immediately following getting our attention. Now, our parents may speak to us. They may raise their voice somewhat to get our attention, and that's the alarm. That's the signal that we need to do something different. We need to change the course that we're on. So he says, don't despise that. The reason is the Lord would only get our attention and administer chastisement because he loves us. He cares about us. He wants us to be on the right path. So if we read John 3 and 16, we know that it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us enough to blow the whistle, to set an alarm, so to speak, to alert us of where our position is, and he loved us enough that he gave his own Son that we could be saved. There was a plan out of it. You know, some of us here may have a job that one of the most imperative things is that we're at work on time. Now, at my place of work right now, we like for everybody to be there at the designated time. But as a general rule, if somebody is a few minutes late, it's not a big deal. It really is not a big deal. Now, if you begin minutes turns into half hours, then that could be a big deal. But if we respect our alarm, if we allow it to help train us, then we'll be on the right path. And he said over there in Proverbs, whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. He loves all of us, every one of us. He gave his only begotten Son. So let's go to the ninth chapter of Acts and notice here the alarm that went off in a man's life. We begin reading in verse 1. He says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined about him a bright light." There shined around about him a light from heaven. Now, in another place, it seems that in Paul's explanation to others later on, that it was about midday. And about midday, even now, even if there's some cloud cover, for a light to be bright enough from heaven to be an alarm would have to be very bright. We've all been driving down the road and after dark and seen some kind of light beam swinging around in the sky and determined that it's coming from an airport or maybe an advertisement at a place of business. They're shining this light up in the sky to get people's attention. But for us to be in the middle of the day and a light shines straight down on us, that'd be a pretty alarming event. Would you not think so? It'd be bright enough that we would probably feel some heat off of it. So it got his attention. And we're all going to have to come to that place that God gets our attention. He says here, "A light shined down from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, Why persecutest thou me? So here comes some chastisement. Got the alarm sounded, and here comes the voice of the Lord saying, Saul, what do you think you're doing? You're working against me. And Saul, you ever been in a place, you ever spent the night in a motel room, and you settled in and finally got to sleep, and somebody else had set the alarm, you didn't, and it goes off at about 6 o'clock in the morning, and you hadn't had any idea of that alarm going off at that time. It can be pretty startling, can't it? You weren't even thinking about getting up because you didn't need to get up at that time. Maybe you are on vacation, and you decided that you're not going to set any alarm, so you didn't even look at it. And then here it goes in the middle of the night, or the phone rings. And, you know, those can be real unsettling times. But at the time that Saul, that was his name at the time, when he was walking or traveling towards Damascus, he had something on his mind. He had a purpose. And God sounded the alarm. It wasn't a sound at that time. It was a light shining down. And got his attention, and he fell down. And at that time, he heard God speaking to him. And we know from other scriptures that the others around him didn't hear the voice. They may have heard a noise like thunder, but they didn't hear the words. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And immediately he allowed that alarm to begin to have its correct effect in his life. And for us today, whatever the severity of the alarm, it may be one that we didn't set. Paul didn't set this alarm. He thought he was going the right way. We may thought we had had it plenty of time to sleep in the morning, and somebody else come and blew the trumpet on us. Somebody else came and had set the alarm, and it went off. And maybe someone called us because it was they were just pranking us. They were just seeing if they could get us to answer the phone. There could be lots of reasons that these kind of things can happen in our life, but at this point in time in Saul's life, it was God trying to get a hold of him. So he shined that light around, and when Saul heard the voice and he understood what the message was, he immediately began to change course. And so I'm asking us today, what do we do when the Lord arrests us? We're going down the road, the path of life, and we think we're doing the right thing, and all of a sudden things fall apart on us and our wheels come off, so to speak. And we hear the Lord's voice saying, what do you think we're doing? And maybe he calls us by name and he says, "What? Where are you? Where are you going? What do you got on your mind here? And we say, Lord, what do you got to tell me? We immediately should listen and start to respond. Allow the alarm to have the effect that it should have. If there was somebody here that's not saved this morning, I would have to challenge you. Is when the Lord comes and deals with your heart, don't just put it on snooze and don't turn it off and don't pick it up and throw it across the room. But instead of all of that, let the alarm do what it's supposed to do. Start training yourself. Start adapting your heart and your mind to the voice of the Lord. He's not being mean to you. He's chastising you. He's talking to you. He's trying to get your attention. Why? Because he loves you. And he cares about you. And he wants your end. He's got an expected end for all of us. His expectations are not always realized, but he has an expectation for all of us. And he would like for all of us to meet him in peace. He'd like for us to be able to be in a position that we could hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So when that alarm goes off in our mind, say, who art thou, Lord? What are you trying to tell me here? So, as we go on in life, there's something what I want us to get a hold of how valid it is to train ourselves to respond to alarms. I'm not trying to tell you that that you got to have everything, you got to memorize everything or anything like that. We all set alarms for different things. You may set a reminder on your phone to tell you to call your parents or to go to the store and buy some groceries and all of those things, and they can be, there's a little notification that comes, a little bit of an alarm. But I'd like for us to think about how valid it is to be prepared to respond. Let's go to Isaiah, the 30th chapter. Most of Isaiah, or a lot of Isaiah, seems to have a reference to Jesus coming. And in this particular chapter, it seems like that Isaiah was a prophet that actually lived and prophesied and actually got to see some of his prophecy come to pass, and that his prophecy that the nation of Israel, the ones that had separated themselves after Solomon's reign, would be carried away captive, and he lived to see that. So it seems like this 30th chapter is pertaining to that event of the prophecy of Israel being carried away captive. And so I'd like to go down here and begin reading in the 19th verse of the 30th chapter of Isaiah. And he says, "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. And when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left." So, here's the thing. Some alarms are jolting, would you agree? Some alarms, if we're here in this chapel, and all of a sudden there was someone started banging on the door, it'd be very jarring and alarming, wouldn't it? If somebody came in the back door back there and hollered just as loud as they could, and maybe had something that they were making noise with, it'd be very distressing because we wouldn't know what was going on. And that alarm that went off at 6 o'clock in the morning when you was on vacation in the motel room and didn't set the alarm, that's very jolting. When you're sound asleep and had no intention of getting up at 6, that alarm going off and it was an unfamiliar sound, it wasn't your normal beep beep sound, it was something totally different. When that starts going off, it's quite distressing. But there's other alarms that are very subtle. Some of you will turn your ringer off and just leave your phone on vibrate, and you can tell when your phone's ringing because it vibrates in your pocket. You may have the sound turned down to where nobody else really knows that it's going on, but you hear it. And this verse here says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk in it." Have you ever noticed that our ears are pointed towards the front? You ever notice that? Sometimes it'd be nice if our ears would turn around. You know, like a dog's ears, they can turn their ears around, and other animals, and they can they can sit with their head still and they can turn their ears around and pick up sounds from different directions. And sometimes, you know, it'd be nice to be able to be walking along just acting like we're not paying attention and just kind of be able, our ears, I don't know how they do it, maybe swivel around and just kind of turn upside down where we could listen to what people were saying behind our backs. And we could hear those kind of things and maybe we'd find out some really interesting things. But our ears are not designed to do that. They're primarily designed to listen to what we're looking at. And as those of you that's not my age, when you get my age, you'll find out that they work a lot better when you're looking at me. And when you're not looking at me, and I'm not looking at you, you might tell me something real important, and I don't hear it. But notice how this was worded. He says, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. This is the way. So how jolting and alarming is that kind of alarm? Not very. It's something that is not very distinct. What's he trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us that there is going to be instructions given to us that's not shaking us. It's not going to be like somebody blowing on the tuba, okay? It's not going to be like somebody blowing on the trumpet and saying, okay, now I've got your attention. Here's what I want you to do. He says he wants us to be in a place. He's talking to the Jews at Jerusalem. He said, I want you to be in a place where when you hear what I'm saying, even from an obscure point, you know what it means to be obscure? It's somewhat disguised. It's not someone standing out on the street corner beating on a drum and saying, there's a yard sale down here. It's different than that. It's because we're listening. You know how much more we can hear when we focus on listening? You know, you can sit in service and not really hear, honestly not hear everything because you're not really listening. We can sit in a service and not get hardly anything because we're not really listening. Our mind can be somewhere else, and unless there's a loud demonstration that jolts us into paying attention, unless there's something that causes us to jerk our head around and a big light shines down on us and we feel the heat from it, it can just pass by. But he said, if you will listen, can I say it that way? He said, the scripture says, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. I'm going to tell us, if we will listen, he's going to give us some instruction. And when we think about turning to the left or turning to the right, he's going to say, this is the way. It might be that you need to make a little correction, but this is the way. Isn't it a lot more, don't you feel like you're really communicating better when you can talk in a calm tone and you can feel like that the other person is listening to you? If you've got, in your conversation, if you've got to say, are you listening every once in a while? You don't feel like you're connecting very good, do you? If you're talking to your child, if you're talking to your parent, if you're talking to your friend, and every once in a while you have to say, did you get what I said? Are you listening to me? We go away feeling like we probably didn't get it all. They probably didn't understand what we had in mind. So I'd like for us to look at remember over there in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, and Elijah had an experience, 19 and 12 is where we'd read. Elijah had the experience where there was an earthquake and a fire and all kinds of big manifestations. But after it was all over, it says in 19 and 12, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in a fire. And after the fire, what was it? A still small voice. And he was listening. It was that first little beep on your beep beep alarm. It was that little nudge. Hey, I got something I want to tell you. And you say, I'm all ears. That's our colloquial expression. I'm listening. What do you got to say? You ever heard the expression that someone was hanging on every word? What does that mean? They're listening. It means that they're anticipating what they're going to, someone else is going to say. They're hanging on every word. They're valuing everything that comes from that other person. Did you know that if we'll let the little alarms, you know how the Lord wants to talk to us? In a still small voice. You know why he talked to Paul, Saul at the time? You know why he had such a dramatic thing? Because Paul was going the wrong way. He needed something to jolt him. He needed a light shine around down upon him. He needed to feel some heat. He needed to know he's going the wrong direction. But is that what God really wants? Don't you know he wants us to be in tune with his little alarms, for a still small voice is all he has to say. All he can say is, child, I wouldn't do that if I was you. Anybody ever said that to you? Anybody ever said, I don't think that'd be good. I wouldn't do that if I was you. Did you ever listen to any of those? Some of you did. Some of you might not have. If you didn't listen, do you kind of wish you had of now? If you didn't listen to that little nudge, or maybe it was someone that was older than wiser than you, or someone that had more experience, maybe they said, I wouldn't do that if I was you. And you went ahead. Do you look back now and wish maybe I'd just listened to that still small voice? I'd like to end over in Luke, the 6th chapter, this morning. In verse 47, Jesus here speaking to his followers, Sermon on the Plain is the title, maybe back earlier, kind of like the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe it's a different setting, maybe it's not so much, I'm not sure. He says here in verse, beginning in verse 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why do you have a profession and yet you don't have your sensitivity to God's alarms set to a level that is really beneficial? It says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will shew you to whom he's like. So I'm going to tell you how it works. You set your alarm to where it's got to be hooked up. You know, years ago they talk about hooking an alarm clock up to some contraption that would beat on a drum or dump water on somebody, or you know, pull a string to cause some kind of calamity to happen just so they could wake up in the morning. He says, beginning here, he says, whomsoever, in verse 47, whomsoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll shew you to whom he's like. He's like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. This is someone that would listen and would hear. the still small voice. It's someone that didn't have to have a light shined around them, didn't have to have somebody beating on the door. But he said, but he that heareth and doeth it not is like, this is the one that puts it on snooze. This is the one that turns the alarm off and rolls over. He says, it's like a man without a foundation, build his house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So the point I want to try to make this morning is, if the Lord is sending you some alarms, don't push the snooze button, and don't just turn it over, turn it off and roll over and think, I'm just going to lay here for 5 minutes. You know what can happen in 5 minutes? You can go sound asleep and wake up 30 minutes later and realize, I'm going to be late for work. I'm going to be late for that appointment. I'm going to miss the opportunity. I'm not going to get on the airplane now. There's no way I can make it. So I don't want to be one of those that when the still small voice speaks to me, that I turn over and push the button, so to speak. Not right now, Lord. I'm busy sleeping. Not right now, Lord. Wait till after I'm done here, and then we'll take care of it. You know, I just want us to be sensitive to the alarms that God sends our way. I don't want us to only operate under the spotlight and under the calamity. I don't want the Lord to have to deal with me by beating on the door, by rattling my cage. You ever heard that expression? I want the Lord to be able to kind of whisper behind me and not hear the still small voice. I want to be hanging on His every word. And I want to be able to adjust my life to where when I maybe have it in my mind to go left or go right or go astray or something looks appealing, instead of going there, I hear the still small voice and I say, yes, Lord, I won't do that. And when you say, oh, I don't think I'd do that if I was you, and when the Lord tells me that, I'll say, yes, Lord, I'm hearing. Isn't that what Samuel was instructed to do by Eli? Eli told him, says, you go lay down, and when you hear your name called, don't come running to me. Say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I want to be in that place like Samuel was as a young man, going there to the temple and ministering to Eli and ultimately becoming a minister to the Lord. I want to be able to say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. You pray for me.